As previously announced, we are going to have a healing service that we do once a year. And I want to bring Bruce up right now to give us some thoughts on how we're going to proceed with this service.
Thank you, Dave. Wow, it's awful quiet in here. Now I'm scared. No, just kidding. Good morning, everybody. My name is Bruce, if you don't know me already. Now, as you know, I'm not going to ask you what book we're in because we're stepping off that book for a minute for today. Oh, sorry. Let me move this out of here. Hold that. She told me not to do that, and I did it. I'm supposed to have too much. I like to be heard. What can I say? First of all, let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity this morning to ask you to pray to heal us, Lord. We come to you this morning to learn about healing prayer, and the way that you heal us, Lord, is just so great. And so I pray this morning, Lord, that as you speak through me, that I'm clear and concise, and just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes when I'm teaching things that are really, really important, I get more nervous because it's really important to me that things are correct, right? That things are right. Because I really want to follow God and I want to do exactly what God wants me to do, right? And sometimes I don't know what that is. But so I go to scriptures and that tells me what it is. So this morning we're stepping off of Acts and we're going to
John.
Oh yeah, that's right. We were at Acts for 2 years. I can't get off that train. We were going to step off of John. I'm sorry. That's okay. That's okay. Someone was telling me we were on the other day that we were in Acts for a year. I'm like, yes, we were. And so anyway, we're going to step off this and we're going to learn about healing, what it means to be healed and how do you do it, right? A lot of times when things are happening in my life, I don't want to ask people for prayer because I don't want them to know that I'm hurting. I don't want them to know what's wrong with me. And that's what I think keeps us from asking people for prayer. And we're supposed to ask for prayer. When there's some parts in our lives that we need prayer for, we're supposed to ask. You're going to say something?
Well, I don't want them to know that I'm weak.
That's right. That's, yes. But God knows it, and God wants us to know that we're weak. He wants us to know that we need him, right? So I'm going to go quickly into this. What we're going to do is we're going to go through some scripture, talk about healing. Then what we're going to do is we're going to call the leadership and the elders forward. And anybody that wants to come forward and be prayed over, we're going to pray over you, okay? And we're going to turn off the recordings. So don't worry about being recorded or anything. You're going to say something, Bev?
I just want to ask a question. If I wanted to pray for someone else, do I just mention that person's name?
I think we could do that, right, Andy? Yes, and we'll just pray over you for them. I think that's probably proper. That's what we'll do. You know, God's like, he's really flexible in sometimes, right? Like, in other words, oh, did I do that ritual right? No, he only cares about the heart. What's going on in our heart, right? That, hey, I need help, God, and I'm asking you to help me. That's what kind of prayer is. I'm asking you to heal me. So let's move into this text real quick. Healing prayer. We're going to start in Mark 9. We're going to start in this story here. It says in Mark 9:14, and when they came to the disciples, now this was right after the transfiguration. They're coming down. Off of that, after they saw Jesus turn white and glorious and saw, I think, Moses and Elijah, and they wanted to make a thing right there. What do they call that?
Shrine.
A shrine, there you go, something like that right there. So anyway, so they come down the hill after that, and so they start here, and it says, and when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, Jesus, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, what are you arguing with them about? And someone from the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. So the disciples tried to cast out a demon to heal this kid, and it didn't work, right? And so Jesus answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, right? If you can, Jesus is like, what do you mean if I can, right? If you can, all things are possible for those who believe.
Amen.
And it says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. One of the famous lines of scripture, right? I ask that all the time, help my unbelief. Because most of the time, a lot of times I'm not believing things and I say, God, help my unbelief. Help me the areas that I don't even know where my unbelief is sometimes. And Jesus saw that a crowd came running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse. And so most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Wow. So, you know, prayer, I'll have to say I'm a little, I feel like I'm weak in my prayer life. I really do. Especially when I see other people that are praying all the time. We have prayer warriors in this room that pray for people all the time for hours at a time. And I think that's really necessary. So help my unbelief, Lord, and help me in my prayer life, because I need help in my prayer life. I don't know about you, because sometimes I go all day long and it's like 3 p.m. and I'm going, I haven't thought about God all day. You ever done that? Anybody ever done that? Yeah. So, and then I'm like, wow, you know, of course, something happens that I need his, you know, to calm me down or something, instead of just all day, thank you, Lord. And you know, because we get so busy and sometimes we just go through the day and all of a sudden, wow, God's not even on my mind. He wants to be part of every part of our life, right? And I think Ed always used to say, from brushing your teeth to buying a house, right? And everything in between. I don't know that he said buying a house, I made that part up. But every part, he wants to be with us every part of our life, right? Every little part. We think that, I got this, I don't need you, God, in this. But he wants to be in every part of our life. And everything always seems to be better when God's in our life, right? I guarantee you that most of the time if I'm like in communion with God and the guy cuts me off, chances are I'm not going to get as mad as if I'm just not even thinking of God, right? So, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. And it doesn't mean, you know, you say a quick prayer, thank you, Lord, heal this person, and that's it. And it takes continued prayer, right? Continued prayer. And then it's not always going to get answered in the time that you think it should be answered, or that I'm thinking. Does anybody have any examples of that when they thought they should be healed faster and they haven't? Anybody? I'm sure you all have hundreds of them. Yes, Dave.
I'm going through that right now. And really, if it wasn't for Jesus and prayer, I wouldn't be relieved of that dissatisfaction with the time it's taking. Well, I was in an accident. It's actually 3 months today, 3 months ago. And I have neck and back injuries. But the truth is, it's gradually getting better, and the key for me is to thank the Lord for the progress that I've made, and that he's, you know. Anyway, I have to stay on the gratitude and away from the. It's not fast enough because I want everything yesterday.
Well, you know what? It's kind of like, you know, when you take antibiotics and you're like, okay, I feel better now, and then the other 20 pills you don't take, right? I mean, so it's like, when we get healed, it's like, thank you, God, for healing me, and continue to pray that I don't, that this doesn't come to me again, right? So it's continued prayer. Let me get Andre, and then you're next.
Hey, maybe you know, my example is out of bounds, but what about two teams playing in competition, right? They both praying to God to win, but only one of the teams don't win.
Well, it depends. Am I praying to win? When I used to do stand-up comedy, I'd say, pray, Lord, let me do a good set today, you know? And then I started remembering, thinking that, you know what? It doesn't matter. It's like, Lord, I pray whatever happens, that's your will, not mine, right? So if a team's praying, they're kind of praying for their own thing. They're not praying for God's will in that, right? So it's like, God, whatever happens, I trust you. Yes, Julie.
So the Raiders.
That's right. Yes, Julie.
My experience in addiction is that
God answered my prayer for alcohol really fast, like that. But then I developed a secondary addiction, and I've struggled with it for years, and I didn't get the answer to my prayer as fast, even though I prayed more. So I guess my experience is that when it comes to addiction, don't be afraid to stop praying just because you relapse. Don't be afraid to keep up, because someone said something and it's kind of so true, it's almost stupid true. Those who pray to stop smoking are more effective than those who never pray to stop smoking.
That's right.
You know, so don't be afraid to just
to keep
go back
praying.
To day one.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't be afraid.
Thank you, Julie. Yes, that's a good word. Yes, Vicki.
I've had cancer for a long time, and a couple of weeks ago, I got some really bad news about that. It's in my leg, and I could lose my leg.
You know, there's a lot of people in this room that are hurting that I know of, right? And part of it is we don't understand, right? We don't quite understand. We have to trust God, right? God says, I'm going to work everything for your good. I'm doing this for a reason. You have to trust me, right? And that's what faith is trust. Trusting God that, and this isn't the end of the story, right? Because we went out to dinner with some people and they were all talking about, we got to go to Hawaii. And the other person's all, oh, I can't go to Hawaii. And I just said, look, you don't have to get everything in this life. They're not believers. And so they're kind of just like brushed it off. But I really wanted to just scream at them saying, look, this isn't the, you don't have to get every, you know, and I'd like to go to Hawaii and all sorts of exotic places. I'd love to go. But you know what? We're going to have a resurrected body and we're going to have a new heavens and a new earth. And so this isn't, we don't have to get everything in at this time, right? So that's the only part that we have. We have the part that we believe. We have people that surround us that love us and that we believe that God's going to handle. Everything is going to be all right in the end, right? That's what we have to, that's what faith is. That's what, you know, and prayer is kind of stepping out in faith, saying that, God, I trust you with whatever you do. And so when we're praying, it's really just like the Lord's Prayer, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's the key, that's the thing, right? So that could be whatever it is. I lost my job, I got fired, my mother died, my father died, all these things. Whatever happens in this world is his will, right? Because he could either do it, or he can allow something, or he could cause something. It's all in his hands. Yes, Virginia.
Amen. And the Bible says in John 14:26, until now you haven't asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete.
That's right.
Faith is faith, and God is that.
Yep. Yeah. And we're supposed to ask each other for prayer, right? Because, you know, I remember trying to pray for myself, and I do, but there's something more powerful about other people praying for you. And especially, well, and we'll get to that later. I better move on because I could go on and on. I'm one of Andy's disciples, so it's starting to... It's starting to... Come on. Hey, that's right. All right, you've taught me well, Andy. No, just kidding. I'm sorry. Okay, in James 5, this is the basis kind of for our healing prayer today. James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So a whole bunch of, that's like really deep here. I got four points in here that I'd like to point out. First of all, is any of you suffering? Let him pray, right? So he's saying we're supposed to pray when we're suffering, right? Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. But I would say, that doesn't say it there, but I would say that you can reverse those, right? I mean, if you talk about, remember Paul was in prison and they were singing, right? They're singing and people are like, what are you doing? You're in prison. And they're singing. Well, they're in their suffering, they were praising, right? So praising when you're suffering and then praying even when everything's good. Because I don't know about you, but I think in recovery, people in recovery, it's very hard. The good times are hard. They were always hard for me. I should just speak for myself. But when I was doing well, that was when I had to really be on my guard, because that's when I always fell and had my hardest falls in recovery, was when everything was going good and I'm kind of like, I'm good, God, thank you. And I'm not praising him. I'm not thanking him. I'm not asking for his power and all that. And, you know, coming up here in front of you today, I have to have God's power, because I can't do this without that, man. And I pray fervently for God's power, because I am totally inadequate to do this, but God is adequate through me. I'm adequate through Christ. Christ is the one that makes me adequate. So let's move on here to the 4 points. So it says here, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So let him call means that there's something in our part, right? It's like, God, why are you doing this? Well, have you called for the elders to pray over you? Have you called for prayer? That's our part. We have a part in it, right? It's like, God, just fix everything. And, you know, you should just make everything right. I've accepted the Lord, and now my life should be all right, right? No, we're supposed to call. When we're having trouble, we're supposed to call for the elders to pray over us, right? And, you know, we have elders board here in this church and in this ministry itself. You know, elders are the leaders here. They're the people. It's people that have walked this walk for longer than you, is living a faithful life in Christ, and because their power, the power of their prayer is powerful. It's because the more you trust God, the more His power can flow through you. That's what's manifested itself in my life. So you need to. So it's up to us to call for a prayer. It's up to us. It's not up to God to do that. This quote I really love. It says, James clearly set the initiative on the person in need. Let him call. The hesitancy of people to ask or seek prayer from the leadership of the church is in such circumstances is a mystery. Right? It is. It's like, why aren't we doing that? And we should do this on a regular basis. When there's something that is nagging you in your life and you can't get rid of it, you know, call for the elders. Call for them to pray for you. The elders meet, what, twice a month? Twice a month. And they have, it's open, right, the meeting. And so at that time, you could come. And if you're suffering, you can go to that, right? You can come to the leadership team here. If you need prayer, anytime on a Sunday, you can come to me, and I'll put together a team and we'll pray for you. Yes?
Yeah, George Abraham, at 10:45 every week, actually, on the patio, organizes a time of praying specifically for physical healing.
Really?
And George has had like 3 miracles in his life for cancer, I think. It's an amazing brother. So that's every week on the patio at 10:45.
Party on the patio.
Yes.
I just want to follow up to what he said. Because last July, when I lost my license because of a seizure, I thought it's time to get the boys on board. So I wrote a little thing in the pew in the big church that I needed prayer. Okay, I ran into George last Thursday, and he said, how are you doing with your seizures? And I thought, how did you know? And then I realized that the elders had subcontracted out with George to pray for me, and that George was still faithfully praying 9 months later. And I thought, oh, I got to update these guys. And so I told him, look, no seizures, I got my license back. So he's on it. He's amazing.
That's a 1099 I want to see. I want to see what it says on that one, right? Where's Paul? Is that going to fly, Paul? Where's Paul? I don't see it. Anyway, so it's a true mystery. Why aren't we? So, you know, so part of it is, you know, I'm reminding you, we need to ask for prayer. I'm reminding myself that we need to ask for prayer. Anyway, there's more I want to say, but I got to stop. Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just going to say, reason we don't say things is because we're embarrassed. Mm-hmm. But embarrassment is our own ego.
That's right.
Let's not say stuff. Yeah. It's our own ego because we're embarrassed. Because we did this stupid stuff.
But you know, when you walk through that, that's what heals. I know at R&R, I mean, from the beginning, I used to get, because I wanted my life to change. I used to get up there and tell all the crap in my life, excuse my language, I used to tell. And people were like, oh, how could you say that? But afterwards, people come up, man, I feel the same way. Why? And that's what healed me, was like telling people, look, I tried to pretend who I was my whole life. Here him, I'm here, this, you know, I'm fine to everybody and dance around. And when I finally just gave that up and said, you know what, here's what I am, the broken wretch that I am, take me or leave me, and I know God accepts me. So, If people don't, that's on them. It's not up to me anymore. You know, I still fall back into that, but I don't, you know, that's what healed me was by, you know, it's embarrassing, right? Fifth and fourth and fifth steps, embarrassing. So the second point is, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, physical healing, physical things are happening because of spiritual things, okay? But it doesn't mean that if, you know, God heals the spiritual things, those physical things are going to happen. Because it says here, then the Lord will raise him up, right? It doesn't mean that they're going to live forever and they're never going to get sick again, or that sickness is never going to come back. But, you know, there's a sense that we're being healed now, but there's a sense where we're going to, you know, in the new heavens and the new earth, when there's going to be no pain, there's going to be no suffering anymore. So being in Christ and being completely in him guarantees that you're going to be with him in eternity, right? And it guarantees him the resurrected body and a resurrected the new heavens and the new earth. So that's what raising up. It's kind of a lot of things God does. He's part of it's for now, but some of it, all of it, doesn't come to manifestation till he comes back again to complete manifestation, right? You're going to say something, Bob? I'm sorry. Okay. That's okay.
If at each one of you suffering, I have cancer, but there's no hardly any physical pain, is anyone cheerful? Yeah, I am pretty much. Supply praise for the cure. I mean, I've accepted that.
Well, why are you cheerful?
Because things are good.
Right, but I mean, is it just because they're good now? Or is it, you see what I'm saying? You're cheerful in the middle of this, you're still cheerful because why?
Because it's surrounded by love.
Well, because you know this isn't the end of the story. You know that God, whatever's happening, because you trust God. You trust that God's going to do what he says he's going to do, right? That's how we're cheerful, right? That's, look, when the world sees us and we're complaining and like I do, and you know, and just mad about things and complaining, they're like, you're just like the rest of us. We don't want any part of that. But if you're like cheerful through suffering, both of you and Vicky, the world notices. They're like, what's going on here? I want some of that. You know, I want to be able to do that. And I'm not good at it. I have to. And then, you know, if you have committed sins, you will be forgiven. Because really, that's the key. Being forgiven for our sins, that's the key. So that when Christ comes back, we're blameless before him, right? So keeping our faith is key. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So we don't, not even just going to the elders, but praying for each other. Hey, brothers, you know, if you have a Bible study group or just, you know, here at church, go, I need some prayer. Grab four or five people and say, come on, let's pray together, right? They're down in the, I don't know where I'm at, but anyway, down in the what's it called now? Gallery. Down in the gallery, they have people that are praying for every day. Now we have a prayer team, Fred in Virginia. So take advantage of it. It's funny, we make these announcements every Friday and every Sunday, and we get like two people, you know, there's only two people in the room need prayer, which is kind of hard to believe, right? So we have these things available, we should take advantage of them. And then, so, you know, confessing your sins to one another and praying for one another, that's like a fifth step. When you do your fourth step, then you share something with another. It doesn't mean you have to share it with the whole congregation. Share it to people that you trust and, you know, like here. Right? There are certain things that we can pray for in public, and there are certain things that we probably shouldn't pray for in public, right? But we still need to confess them to one another, to, you know, a couple or two or three of our brothers or sisters. And then this is the key for me. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And so, you know, part of why they have elders and leaders is because it doesn't mean they're perfect. It just means that they've been consistently walking with the Lord, and the Lord's been consistently changing them, and the power of God is manifest in their life, and you can see it, and it's evident. That's who I want to pray for me, right? I don't want prayer from somebody that doesn't hardly know God, or I want somebody that knows God really well, that is a conduit of God, and it's obvious in their life, right? So that's who I want to pray for me. And so the prayer of a right. So whenever I pray for people, I'm thinking, is there anything in my life that's unconfessed to God that I'm doing that? And because You know, I'm saying, I've been praying and praying and nothing's working. Well, is there unconfessed sin? Is there hidden sin in your life? And so I think it's important for us to examine ourselves. And I do all that. I can't say I'm all public, but no, there's some things that I don't even see, to be quite honest with you. And it takes other people to tell me, because I can come up and complain, hey, I need prayer. And then the people that are praying for you kind of give you a different perspective on things. Hey, have you ever thought of this? Look at it this way. So having more people in your life, it's the key for me. In Isaiah 53, it says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was not despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. So, you know, part of it is that, you know, all the suffering, pain, and suffering that we went through, Jesus experienced it, right? He got crucified on the cross, right? So that we could have peace, and so that we could have the power from that, the resurrection power from that. He did that for us. So that's available to us at all times, right? It's available to us. It's like the most immense power there is in the world that's available to us, right? But the problem is that, not the problem, but the part is that we don't get to direct that power the way we want to, right? We have to ask God to direct the power where he thinks it's correct, where we trust him that what he's going to do is the best thing and is the thing that's for our best interest, right? So with his wounds we are healed. And so when we're not asking to be healed, we're not asking, we're not praying and things like that. We're kind of saying, hey, you know, that didn't really matter, right? So I think it does matter. It's and to think about when we are suffering that, you know, is it, you know, crucifixion suffering? I mean, and we were promised to suffer. It wasn't said that become in Christ and everything will be cheesy. I thought it was, and it actually wasn't. I went in my deepest 3 months of my life after I got baptized down here. But it was necessary for me to walk through that suffering to get to the other, to where I am now. After 15 years, you know, if it wasn't that the fact the Holy Spirit was living in me, I probably would have killed myself. I probably would have never made it back. But it was just the fact that I had God in me was enough to keep me alive. Clearly, God does not grant immediate healing for every prayer of faith, and the reasons are hidden in the heart and mind of God. Still, many are not healed simply because there is no prayer of faith offered. The best approach in praying for the sick is to pray with humble confidence that they will be healed, unless God clearly and powerfully makes that clear that this is not his will. Having prayed, we simply leave the matter to God. And that's the hard part, right? It's like, I asked you, you said, and it says if you anything in my name, which means anything that he wants, right? Anything that's in his will, not in my will. And it's hard. If this was easy, we wouldn't have to congregate together and we could just go all about, but it's not. This is something that we learn from. This is how I've been healed over the years, just walking through tough things, not understanding them but yet still walking through them, right? So because of that, it's saying not everyone's gonna get healed, right? And there's some people will tell you that, hey, if you had enough faith, you'd be healed. That's not true. It's not true just because you have faith. Job went through all sorts of things and God allowed that to happen. And even the great apostle Paul wrote half the New Testament. In verse 7 here, it says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. To keep me from becoming conceited, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. 3 times, you know, prayed fervently. But he said to me,
no, you're really conceited.
My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So it's like when we admit or when we face the truth that we're weak, right? The power of God comes flowing in. When we think we have enough, we think we're strong enough, the power of God doesn't flow in anymore. We block it off, right? And part of it is just admitting it. We're all weak. Is there anybody in here not weak? All weak. No, there's nobody, right? Yes. Weak? Okay, me too. Weak. Right? I'm weak. Okay, good. Right? Just so I just wanted to find out if there was anybody not weak, because I want prayer from you. Well, maybe I don't. No, actually, no, I'm sorry. That's wrong.
We need to pray for them.
That's right. We need to pray. Well, we can pray for you today.
All Raider fans, stand up.
My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's Jesus, right? Saying that that's the key here, right? We think that, oh, I just got to get, I got to put my strength into, no, it's sit back, rest, say, God, I trust you. Whatever you do, I'm good with. Do my footwork. The rest is up to God, right? We have to leave the rest up to God. And we pray because he asks us to pray. He calls us to pray. So we do that, and then the rest is up to God. And we've been obedient to God, so he's going to bless that. He always blesses obedience, right? Even if we don't understand it. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's the key right there. And we're all weak. And so the weaker we are, or the more we admit that we're weaknesses, the power comes flowing in. So healing prayer. So what we're going to do today is, let me go back here to, got to go back to James, there it is. Back one more, right there. Okay. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to call the leaders forward and the elders, the leaders of this ministry, to pray over people. Okay? So anybody that needs prayer, like I said, we're going to turn the recording off, so it's not going to be recorded. If you want prayer, you don't have to get into detail, but you can say what you want prayer for, and we're going to lay hands on you and pray for you. Also, it says in this passage to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And we're going to anoint you with oil. You know, the first time I saw this done, I was like, oh, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of weird, you know. And I did, and I got to get over myself, right? It's kind of like even baptism, right? To the world, we look like a bunch of fools. Hey, dripping in the thing in the water. And you see what I'm saying? I mean, I did. I thought, big deal, baptism. What's that, right? Or communion, right? The body of Christ. I mean, I know when I did that before, and they were saying that when I was a kid, and what is this? You know, they're doing that out of obedience because God called for it, right? And it calls for it in his word here. So we're going to anoint you with the oil. The oil doesn't have magic powers. I saw this commercial the other day on TV about this whole healing water or something you could order for $12.99 or something. And all these people and the thing are like, oh, my life has changed. I've gotten thousands of dollars since then or something. You know, yeah, snake oil, whatever. So it's not in that. Just like baptism. It's not, you know, when you get baptized and you come out, it doesn't mean all of a sudden you float to the clouds. It just means that you're symbolizing what God's done, right, in a physical way. So what spiritually happened, you're symbolizing in a physical way. So we're going to do that today. And then, like I said, it's not that, it's the prayer, it's the supplication, it's the asking for God. It's really kind of like, it's begging God to help us, right? It really is. It's pleading. I guess begging has a bad connotation to it, pleading to God to help us. God, please help. And, you know, even if you don't get healed from what you're looking for, there's some peace that can come into your life over this, right? So even when you're praying for healing, if that doesn't happen, you can get peace in it. You can get peace and you can be cheerful through it, right? In some cases, not always. And, you know, I don't have a terminal illness or anything like that, so I it's hard for me to relate, but I empathize and, you know, but ultimately, the main healing of being saved in Christ, being in Christ, that's the key, because it doesn't matter. We come overcome our sickness now, you're going to die again eventually. Eventually, everyone's going to die, just like Lazarus. Yes.
Yeah. And the last sentence that's on the screen right now, even if it is an instantaneous prayer, it says the great power as it is working. Mm-hmm. So it's a continuing effect after the prayer as well.
Good point. Thank you. I missed that. That's good. I would have highlighted that as it is working in blue or something or another color. Right. Anyway, so listen. So we're going to pray. Two more things, then we're going to start praying.
Oh no, Bruce! I when I got into the steps, the 11 steps, I was surprised to find out that building that was talking about, you know, as addicts and stuff like that, you're selfish, and that they were even talking about when you pray for somebody else. And I think that's what key to where, like you're saying, come up there and let somebody else pray for you, because we all have some sort of issue, and you can step to the side and pray for somebody else. I think God honors them.
I agree. Bev, you were going to say something?
I just wanted to mention, it talks a lot about sickness, and you were talking about terminal, but just in my situation, where you have a chronic illness, mm-hmm. it's a daily thing. It's a daily struggle, a daily fight. You have good days, you have bad days,
yeah.
but you always have to have faith, you know, because that you can rely on. How you're going to feel that day, how you're going to progress, or you know, that type of thing. That's in God's hands. So one
That's right.
thing I know that I have to rely on is God and faith.
That's right.
Because without that, you know, I would be in serious trouble.
Me too. And you know, and look, I had them change my knee and change my hip, and I still can't walk right. I still, you know, and you know, so.
I think you got
I
good sweat.
Did. when it turned into morning to dancing again or whatever. All right, so come on up, elders and the leadership. And then whoever wants to get prayed over, come up, and we're going to pray over you and anoint with you. With